You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Yeah, come on in and catch some, or at least find out how to catch some. In this case, find out how to maybe tag yourself with a little bit of grant money. It's always interesting talking about the Wicked Tuna guys and the fights that they go through. But what happens about right now is every now and again we get to talk with Josh Jamello, who's a one of the many specialists there. He's a fishery analyst. And it dawns on me that we need more and more qualified people to help us out in the fishery to determine things like catch limits and all of the kind of stuff that we talk about. But where do these people come from? Well, some of them come from Uncle Sam. And I guess I'm kind of excited because I heard a little bit about this topic that we're going to talk about today earlier, but Josh sort of filled me in off the air a little bit about it. It's called Salt and Stall Kennedy Act of 1954, or in other words, SK, and it's wide awake and back right now. First of all, Josh, I don't know how you get to do the lucky deal on this, but this sounds like such a wonderful program. Let's talk a little bit about it. What was its original concept and where is it today?
So back in 1954, Congress recognized that commercial fisheries weren't getting the funding that they needed. This was all before the start of National Marine Fisheries Service and the Magnuson mm-hmm. Act. So they established this fund that's created from the fishery import duties in the United States. So all of this fund is supposed to be used for commercial fisheries research and development.
I bet you it wasn't all used for that in the very beginning, but a good idea. In other words, they can justify the charging of the fees because of the funding that it's going to do for the fishery.
Right, and this is something that the fishermen in Hawaii have been saying for a while now is they wouldn't mind paying the fee if the money was used for the fisheries.
Right.
So in 1980, the American Fisheries Promotion Act created this grant competition out of these funds to give back to the fishermen and do a little bit of fisheries research and development.
I know there are some people that specialize in helping people do grants. And I know that some people are actually pros at it. They know how to get themselves grants. And I'm guessing that a lot of potential people that could earn a grant or qualify for this program just think it's so daunting they don't know what to do or exactly even how it works.
Oh, definitely, there's a lot of steps involved, especially with federal grants. You have to get online, get your DUNS number, it's called, and that may take a couple of weeks, so you can't just do it at the last minute. And then after you even receive a grant, there's all these reporting requirements that you have to do periodically.
Yeah, it's not just an automatic, here's the money, see ya. I mean, you have to actually show what you did with it and everything else. But what I am interested in is maybe you can give us some examples of some of the type of people that earn these grants. In other words, I know it's across a wide spectrum. What does the council want to see as far as maybe getting a grant that can turn around and then be beneficial to help the council out?
Well, recently, last year's grant funding went to places like the University of Hawaii, to the Hawaii Seafood Council, Pacific Island Fisheries Group, which is a nonprofit. And all of these groups have taken on the role of helping out the fisheries by doing research and actually partnering with fishermen to actually get these type of projects done.
Which is what you and I talk about a lot of times. In other words, when these are the boots on the ground, but they also have to know that the bills are getting paid. And I know that if they dot the I's and cross the D's properly, that they'll be looked at. What sort of experience can you share with the type of people that look for the grants outside of, I mean, these are groups, right? So you like PIFG, somebody said, okay, I'll be the grant guy. I'll just figure out how to get us some money.
Right. So the type of people is pretty much anyone interested. I think the groups usually apply for it because they have that administrative background that they can apply for the grant. They can manage that grant. So it's probably better to work with your group, whether it's your fishing club or another organization.
It seems, though, that, you know, when we talk about it, that ideally when some of these monies get given out, that there is that list. Like you say, you get your DUNS number. That's simply a matter of proving who you are. In other words, I'm an entity. And I would imagine that being a 501c3 is important for some of these grants.
Right, especially if you're taking money for something like personnel. I'm sure there's some type of tax implications.
Sure.
So if you can expend that money with a 501c3 is probably a lot easier.
You know, it like a lot of these things go, when in the very beginning it looked to me like this was, wow, this is great, and then after a while when we start tightening our belts, you know, there's some of these programs that fall by the wayside. From what I understand, that sort of happened to SK for a while. It went sort of quiet.
Yeah, and that mainly happened because in the late 90s, early 2000s,
yeah, started running out of money.
Well, they started earmarking. Congress started earmarking mm-hmm. funds for all these different fisheries groups.
Right.
So they said, why are we giving money for commercial fisheries and the SK mm-hmm. when there's all these pockets of earmarks? Mm-hmm. You know, we got our fair share yep. from Senator Inouye.
Well, you know, in the past, we landed on the laurels of Senator Inouye. You and I know that this is a guy that really understood the fishery. He really understood the need for the federal government to contribute funds here. And like you said, people paying the tax or paying fees, as long as they can see some of it coming back into their fishery, they're happy.
Right. And I think Senator Inouye was able to work with Senator Stevens in Alaska.
Alaska, sure.
To, yeah. You know, both bipartisan on these fisheries issues.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it's sort of an interesting relationship. Here was Ted Stevens, a really right-leaning Republican conservative, and here's Dan Shoot from the Hips. He said he was the king of pork and loved it, and they had common grounds, meaning the people of our two states, and I know you see this a lot because of the work you do, we're really alike. Even though the weather is really different, we are, as people, we're pretty much just like the Alaskans.
I think so. Even with the fishery management councils, I think we deal with this similar issues, especially protected species and other fisheries. Their fisheries are a lot larger, but we do have a lot of commonalities.
With that being said, this year's SK total in grants that are available is a pretty interesting number. However, we should understand that the cost of doing things in this day and age costs a lot more than it used to. So this is very, very real money. Is there any way that is it apportioned out to certain areas, or do each individual grantee just get it based on the quality of their application and the reason to necessitate getting the money?
It is a competitive grant mm-hmm. process where you write your grant, people review your grant, and then they have a separate review after that review is done, and you're actually competing with people on the West Coast, in the Gulf sure. of Mexico, all along the Atlantic and Alaska. So it's not just a certain part of money for Hawaii, but in the past, just last year, we got probably close to 10% of the $25 million that was available.
Which is pretty good. A little small little place
like Hawaii. It is pretty good mm-hmm. considering we didn't have as many projects make it to the final review mm-hmm. as some of the other regions did. But
does NOAA take a look at this, Josh, and say, okay, this particular applicant has and we already know that the council and that us and that others can use the fruits of their labor. If they do what they say they're going to do and we help them with the money, everybody benefits. It's not just the benefit of a nonprofit group that has some ethereal idea. This is something that you guys need. You need these people to do these things.
Right. This is sort of supplementary research that mm-hmm. you would be proposing. And really what we look at when we're reviewing it is, does it benefit the fishermen?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that goes along with the research priorities for the council? And does that money actually benefit the fishermen? Because there are some projects that will pay people in the universities yeah. when really the money comes from fisheries, so the money should go back to the fishermen.
You know, does that sometimes of a concern? I mean, do you guys get a list of the qualifiers or the people that are being considered to give your input in? Does NOAA ask the council, for instance, hey, these guys are looking good, can you use what they're going to come up with?
Most of the times we have council staff or advisors that mm-hmm. are on the review boards, either on the initial review of the applications or the final reviews, and we do provide some comments and some direction for the.
What about if I had a organization and I'm interested in this grant, and I have a value to the council or to others or to NOAA or the fisheries or whoever? How can I get some help? You said off the air we were talking that you guys actually will reach out and make yourselves available for somebody that's applying for this SK grant if they don't know how to dot the I's and cross the T's. You can give them some help.
Right. We as a council cannot apply for this grant.
Right.
But we can be a partner with, mm-hmm. with other groups. So if there are groups out there that do want to apply and aren't sure how, they can always contact us and we can help them go through the process and make sure that the proposal is filled out correctly.
Just to have somebody that might be out there and listening and saying that, yeah, I want to do this or I want to do that, can you give us some examples of maybe some of the partnerships that you guys have for some of the people you have helped in their quest to get this grant?
A lot of our work on this grant for these proposals has been with places like American Samoa. Mm-hmm. We've had our coordinator out there in American Samoa help with the agencies developing a project on fishery development. Mm-hmm. We've also been asked to help with data collection in the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, and we've also advised on bycatch in the longline fisheries of trying to mitigate the effects of false killer whales.
Yeah, you know, if we put on your hat of the fisheries analyst rather than the SK grant facilitator, obviously what you do really depends on good data. And a lot of what you say, some of these grants are being given out to people that are researchers that do provide you. Let's talk for an instant or just a minute, Josh, about how you and others in different parts of the council rely on data being good data. In other words, for you to make the decisions that you make up, your info comes from all over the place.
It comes from both fishery dependent and fishery independent. So mm-hmm. fishery dependent meaning it comes from the fishermen, they're reporting what they catch,
right?
Or someone's asking them. And then there's fishery independent where there's researchers going out and collecting the data either on life history or habitat, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, we know the incident, it's sort of neat because we were talking in the last segment of the program with these guys from Wicked Tuna, Outer Banks, that the reporting sale of bluefin tuna is the processors report every sale and it's instantaneously. And I do know that we have a similar thing going on here with the United Fish Agency auction, but there's an awful lot of other semi-commercial fishing that sort of flies under the radar, and maybe that data is somebody can get a grant to go look at for some of that data.
You could use that under the fishery data collection priority for mm-hmm. this grant. The state collects a lot of data. There's also a lot of people collecting data on their own. These small communities that are collecting fishery data just in their bay or along their shoreline. On many of our islands.
That actually meshes into what some of the other talks we've had is when we look about management and you know, hands-on management by the stakeholders in an area. If they can give you data that shows collection information that's accurate over a long period of time, we can all be sympathetic to maybe not allowing so many people from outside that area to come in there, or by saying to the area, look, you guys got plenty of fish. And you know, so you can't be so, you know, you can't. In other words, there's give and take based on data, and the value of the data makes a lot of these decisions, I guess, if not easier, more palatable.
Exactly, and having that baseline data available just so that we can compare it to some point in time in the future, it would be very beneficial mm-hmm. for managers, not just us, for the state of Hawaii sure. or wherever you are. And it's also important for the group to have a real idea of what their stocks are instead of just what people say they are.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, I do know that every time when we talk about grants, there's always times and time lapses and everything, and they usually open the window for applications in a certain time. So you're here today on behalf of the council to get this information out. What is the framework for the 2016 or 2015-16 grants?
So the solicitation opened up at the beginning of September, mm-hmm. and it'll close November 2nd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. So that's around lunchtime, 12 our time.
Our time, yeah.
So we can't expect to get that thing in at the last minute on the 2nd because they won't accept it.
I do know that sometimes people will really have a good idea that really is deserving, but they won't do everything right. There'll be some piece of paper, some document, something that they didn't file, something that they didn't get on time. So this being said, I know that it sounds like it, but this is the 19th of September when people are listening, and the 20th. That November 2nd date is going to come up pretty quickly.
Exactly, and there's a bunch of other federal forms that you have to file, mm-hmm. like the 424, which is a form that shows your budget.
Yeah.
And there has been people as recently as last year that filled out, that went through the whole process but missed that one 424 form. Goodness. And that's probably one of the easiest because you're just sticking in the numbers from your budget.
You know, gang, if you've ever tried to renew an automobile license and you stood in that line and you get up to that line after being there for 3 weeks or 3 hours or whatever, and they say, hey, you don't have the yellow paper, and oh my goodness. So there is a way for people to find out about this. How can they get some help going through the WPCouncil.org, or where can they find out more about this, SK?
All of this information is available on our website, WPCouncil.org, under news and updates. Mm-hmm. There's a post on the SK grant award period, but you can also go to grants.gov and search for Salt Install Kennedy Act. And it'll bring up the grant. It's called the Federal Funding Opportunity, or FFO. Mm-hmm. And in that, there's all the instructions on how to apply, what the priorities are, also what they look for in the review, how they evaluate, and all of that criteria. So you need to make sure that you hit all of those buttons.
I do know that every now and again in the council there's a grant. I mean, the council also is in the business of looking at grants, at being able to help in the council mission. And the documentation and the order in which you got to do this stuff is pretty clear. I mean, you know, but it is daunting for somebody, particularly that's somebody new. And based on history, it looks like this SK program has been pretty participatory in the Pacific, which means obviously that they know that there's a need here for these groups that can do the work that help national fisheries, help NOAA, and help the council.
And in fact, we have a priority in there for territorial science. So for the Pacific Island territories, we have there's a priority in there, and we've only gotten a few grant proposals under territorial science, and it would be great to get even more because they put a priority just for us in there.
Mm-hmm.
And these awards can go up to $300,000. So that's a lot of money for a small organization.
Amen. And, you know, there's some things that some people don't understand. I know that you guys know a lot about it, the council. I know a little bit about some of the other stuff I do with OHA and some of the other groups that we do some work with. Most of these grants are based on a certain period of time, whether it's annual or 2 years, 3 years, but most of them are short period. And that once you get it, to keep getting it renewed, you have to, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's. Do you notice that some of the people that get these grants are able to refile and re-get, based on the work they do with the money, get an extension or get additional funding?
Not for this grant program. Mm. If you have sort of a phased-in approach, so if you apply for phase one funding, you can use the success from that project in next year's grant program, and then what you want to do is you want to build upon your successes to get that larger picture funding.
It's kind of frustrating because you know that sometimes you get a grant and then before you know it, I mean, time flies, right? Pretty soon the money's gone and the grant's gone, and now you have to either come up with another source of another grant or just take the shock of things just may not be the same anymore unless you figure out a way to get more money.
I'm sure the grant people could tell you that there's all different creative ways to write your grant. One of the main things that I'd like to stress is that there's tons of money out there and it's just sitting there for the taking, and we haven't been as good as a state or as a region in the Pacific Islands of taking advantage of that kind of funding.
Yeah, and I get really worried because, you know, that stuff goes away. I mean, you know, they say use it or lose it. That's why sometimes, and I know that at the council, this is really important, that when there's certain department or certain project gets a budget of so much, it gets towards the end of the year, you want to make sure that that money has been plowed into that, because otherwise they say, well, you know, you didn't need it, so we're not going to go forward with it.
Right, and as long as you're meeting your stated deliverables under your grant, that money will be available.
Yep. Okay, so somebody gets the wind of being interested. I mean, they're listening. For this year, the filing deadline is November the 2nd. And once again, is SK explained pretty explicitly if they go to WPCouncil.org, or there are other places they can go to?
There's a site, noaa.fisheries.gov.
Okay.
If you look for SK under there,
all right.
They have their own webpage. Most of that information, I took their information and put it onto our webpage, gotcha. So it'd be easier for the folks in the Pacific Islands to find it. And then the grants.gov is the other site.
Let's say that I was in a group that that was going to do this, a local-based group. Does it help that the council or NOAA or somebody can use the information? I mean, is that in the process you say, well, we're doing this not just to count fish so that we can know how many fish we have in our bucket, but that we know that this is going forward? In other words, what makes a grantee, a grant, you know, appealing to the guys that are going to give the money to SK?
Well, one of the things is that the proposal meets the priorities, the mm-hmm. research needs that the council has.
Yeah.
We've been trying to get the SK program to incorporate more of our needs, and not just our needs, but all the councils in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
on what we need to actually move forward in management. So if a applicant can meet those needs or address the needs that we have, it makes it a lot easier for us when we're reviewing, and we can push forward on that too.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we're doing this segment today, because obviously we take a look at what's important to the council when deciding what's going to go on these segments. And when I first found out about this, I had to do a little research to figure out, well, why does the council want to do this? And it's not that it's self-serving, but in many respects you can get outside organizations to help you do the load that is just impossible to do without the help from the outside.
And we don't get as much money as we should. I think that we should, because a lot of the mainland councils and regions get a lot of money just naturally because they have a lot bigger fisheries and they have a lot of
the money.
They have more states. They have other. Yeah. They have more people that can actually write grants. So we need to start at least pushing our own ways in there so that we can get our fair share. We're not asking for more. We're always asking for...
But you know, I got to tell you, Josh, this is really interesting, because a couple of friends of mine, since I started doing this, have asked me to ask you specifically and others that, you know, we already know that the Coast Guard, is 14th District, is the largest district that we've got. I think the council, you know, when people understand how many branches of the council there are nationally, that we are a... Even though we may not be as close to the money or have as many states, we got a lot of ocean we're covering.
If you look at our jurisdiction out in the mm-hmm. Western Pacific, you add it all up, we're equal to about the size of the continental United States.
Yes, yeah. It's frightening. Yeah. I mean, that's why the Coast Guard, good luck to those guys. They get spread pretty thin too. Well, I think this is important. Once again, folks, what Josh and I have been talking about is the long-word Assault and Stall Kennedy Act of 1954. It had a little hiccups and a couple of bumps, but it's back now, and you have the opportunity, if you are a person that needs a grant or looking at this opportunity, to go to wpcouncil.org and check in on it. And being said that the November 2nd being the cutoff, when after that, how long does it take them to process all this information, parse it out, and then make a decision on who's getting these grants?
If it goes like last year, it went to maybe about January, February mm-hmm. is when that first cutoff gets done, or the reviews are done, and the first round of projects are completed. And then around April is when the final review is done. Then somewhere around June is when the notification will come out.
Boy, I certainly hope that we have a little bit to do with somebody this time getting this, because I do know that if you guys could all write yourself a ticket about how much money you needed, I mean, we can use a lot of help. And to have somebody come in and be able to do a specific study and give you guys the info you need, be a big deal, right?
Right, and we're always here. If you have an idea and you'd like help, just give us a call at the council and talk to us.
Go to wpcouncil.org. That is the easiest way. And if you want to hear something on the program covered by the council, you know what to do. Drop me a line, themikebuckshow@aol.com. And don't forget that you can go backwards and go to the wpcouncil.org website. And we are archiving our segments so that you can find out what me and Josh look like and what we're talking about by going to wpcouncil.org and clicking on the segment. Thanks for being a part of Go Fish. Our thanks to Captain Greg Mayer of the fishing vessel Fishing Frenzy on Outer Banks Wicked Tuna. And Wicked Tuna Outer Banks, I should say. I'm Mike Buck. We'll see you next time. Have a great weekend. Aloha.